Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
Let's see. Oh, they can hear me already in Discord.
Really? Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, they're saying they can hear me. So I guess Wow. Our little pregame chit-chat. It's for the people.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let me get this out of here. There it is. There it is.
The music.
I don't even know who to yell at for starting without letting us know. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Making today make sense is what we do on this podcast.
Or attempt to, at least. I'm Kimberly Adams. It's happy hour, or as we like to call it, economics on tap. Thank you to everyone joining on YouTube, on Discord, in the podcast, wherever you may roam. And we're just really grateful that you're here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say it feels a little weird to be doing this because I haven't been on a Friday in like a couple of weeks. And so it's nice to be back. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
With your drink. What are you drinking?
I am drinking a Mind Haze Double IPA because I need to take the edge off a little bit because it's been a day.
Is that like a stronger beer than normal beer?
I want to go to. Yes. So double IPAs are generally higher in alcohol content, alcohol by volume. This is 8.3. And one would do me very well for the meeting that I have coming up in half an hour that I don't really want to have to deal with. And so that's good. That's good. That's
My
good.
Wine
what about you?
Is 13.5% alcohol by volume.
There you go.
It's Black Girl Magic.
Is that the name of the wine? Or is it? Sorry.
Yes. It's actually called Black
thing?
Girl
is
Magic.
Is that just your thing? Sorry.
No, it's legitimately called Black Girl Magic.
It definitely could have been. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Okay. Now that we've officially surveyed the drinks news.
Yes. Well, you know, it is incumbent upon us. Okay, so I am bringing this up, number one, because I just kind of love it, but also because, number two, Marielle mentioned it like a week or so ago, the cream cheese shortage in New York City, the schmear shortage, and what that's doing to the bagel industry and just, you know, all of that jazz. So Bloomberg did a little digging, and I love this so much. It turns out that a company named Schreiber Foods in Wisconsin, which has, according to Bloomberg, a cream cheese operation to rival Kraft's, which is to say large, right? They were the victims of a cyber attack back in October. And that partially goes to explaining why there was this cream cheese shortage. Because honestly, when Marielle and I were talking about it, I was like, come on, how can you be short of cream cheese? How can that be? But I guess that's the mantra of this supply chain age is, how can that be? Anyway, so they had a cyber attack and that's what's going on with that. But here's the other amazing tidbit in this Bloomberg story. I'm just going to read it. At-home cream cheese consumption is up 18% compared to 2019, and food service demand in November was up 75% compared to last year. Now, granted, last year we weren't going out, but still, that's according to a spokesperson for Kraft Heinz.
Some of us.
We're eating a lot of cream
pandemic.
Cheese, is all I'm saying. We're just eating a lot of cream cheese, which is just cray-cray. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm really hesitant about whether to comment on this because I always get in trouble for this. I don't like cheese.
Oh no, that's fine. I didn't like cheese for a very long time, and now I do.
No, but so like, fine. I've lost friendships over this. Like, people really get disturbed when they just. I mean, like, I just don't like cheese, and. Once people find out that you don't like cheese, they just look at you differently for some reason.
Is it? Okay. I don't know what to do with that. Is it all kinds of cheese?
All kinds of cheese.
It's really a shame because as I'm sure people have told you, cheese and wine go really well together.
I know. I've heard this. And I have tried many, many different kinds of cheese over the years and... I don't like it. And one of my good friends from like middle school, I've known her since I was like an early teenager, and she's actively suppressed the fact that I don't like cheese. So every so often she'll be like, oh, you should try this new cheese. I'm like, I don't like cheese. She's like,
all right, well,
over and over again.
Issues. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. She's got some issues. She needs. She's the one who needs to get over it. You do you. Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
As so Robert like says in the live, YouTube live. Chat, chocolate and wine is a better combination. I
That's
am
true.
Fully
That's
on board
true.
With that.
That's very true.
And
ooh,
this
ooh.
Is the always. Finn has the questions. Yes, I know.
Yeah,
what do I do
yeah.
about pizza?
Yeah. What do you do?
Well, I either eat like the worst pizza possible that doesn't have real cheese. It has like the vegetable oil stuff that is.
Oh. God,
kind of
Kimberly?
Like cheese, and that is fine for me, or I'll take the cheese off of it, or I'll just eat a very, very small amount.
Okay. And sorry, I'm okay, now I'm digging in. Has it been this way since you were a kid?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Hey. As somebody else said in the YouTube, that's great. More for us. More for us.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, so I mean, everyone loves cheesecake, and it's just like, it still tastes kind of like cheese to me, and I'm just like, eh, no thanks.
Oh, that's my favorite dessert ever, is my wife's cheesecake. My wife makes the world's best cheesecake. It's my favorite dessert
oh,
ever.
Does she?
Good, yeah, she good. Really does. But you're not going to get any, so na-na-na-na-na. All right, anyway, go ahead. Let's get on with the news. We're off track here.
I'm sorry. Okay, so mine is... touch more serious, but also, you know what? Let's
That's
make
right.
a let's make a very, let's see, loose tangential connection. Cheese, health, healthcare, your heart and arteries. This is about
let's
drug
go.
Prices, which is that the House of Democrats just wrapped up this 3-year investigation into drug prices in the U.S. and basically. Determined what we all kind of suspected, which is that several drug makers kind of use the United States to rake yeah. in profits by hiking up prices in the U.S. while charging everyone else in the world lower rates. So we're just sort of the profit center because
wow,
Medicare
yeah.
and the federal government can't negotiate drug prices. Now, obviously, there's a political agenda to releasing this report at this time when we're in the midst of the Build Back Better negotiations and they want to give the government the power to negotiate drug prices in some cases. But yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how many people I know who, like, when they travel abroad, they bring back all of these medicines that are just so much cheaper. Now, mm-hmm. at the same time, the Republicans released a report talking about pharmacy benefit managers, which are sort of the in-betweens mm-hmm. between the pharmaceutical mm-hmm. companies and patients, saying that they're to blame for high drug prices. Lots of blame to go around. But this report is super detailed. It was like, I think it went... 3 years for this report that they've been digging
yeah.
into this.
Yeah.
I'm just going to read a piece from Reuters. The report, which focused on 12 drugs made by 10 companies, said that Lilly, Novo Nordisk, and Sanofi owned some 90% of the market for life-sustaining insulin, which was invented in the 1920s. And this is one of the drugs that's really had its price hiked up, and that it's pretty much just us that's
yeah.
paying
yeah.
these kinds of rates. Well, and
so the thing that has brought it home to me most immediately and recently are the at-home COVID tests, right?
Yeah.
You go to the local Piggly Wiggly in London or, you know, Edinburgh or wherever, and you get them free at the local place because of the National Health Service. And here they're like $40 for two. And it, yes, fine, there's going to be reimbursement through insurance, but come on, cut it out. It's craziness. It's crazy. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I also have something that I think is going to be near and dear to both of our hearts, which is a space story.
Oh, let me look. Sorry, clicking.
Which I don't know quite how I feel about it. So the FAA said today that it's no longer going to be giving out commercial astronaut wings, which
you and I have had this conversation, I believe. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I have a stance on this. I have a position.
Okay. So they gave these astronaut wings, I think, to all of these dudes who've gone into low Earth low Earth orbit, not actual space, but kind of sort of space, but they still got the astronaut wings. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's not low Earth orbit, right? It's these little suborbital hops that they've been doing. It's the Bezos is going up and down, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not orbit,
yeah, but
right?
It's not space.
That's exactly it. It's not space. It's popping up, doing the parabolic arc, and coming back down. It's exactly what Alan Shepard did in 1961, right? Watch the right stuff. You know exactly what it is. And I think, actually, you shouldn't get astronaut wings until you orbit. I think that's the deal. I think you have to go, you have to orbit the Earth, and then you come back, and then you get the wings. If you pass the Kármán line and all that jazz, BS. You got to go up and around, not just up and down. I don't know why I feel so strongly about that.
Well, now nobody's getting it anymore because apparently too many people are going up into that thing that you just said, the little hop. And so now the FAA is no longer going to be giving out astronaut wings to these commercial pilots. And yet another one of our dreams has been crushed, Guy.
I think I'm okay with that. You know, I mean, look, I finally accept that I'm not going to be an astronaut. I can be an Apollo, you know, fanboy and all that jazz. But my flying.
I'm not ready to give up. I think there Kimberly. May still be a moon Kimberly. Byline for me coming out.
I am saying this as gently as I possibly can and know that I love you, but there's an age limit.
How old do you think I am, Kai?
This could be deeply problematical for me to answer. So I'm not gonna. But come on. Okay.
I'm gonna save you from yourself at this point. I think we have some other things to say.
Oh, so we'll do that on another podcast, shall we? Anyway, so look. We're going to take a very brief break here to do this, which is to say we cannot do what we do on this podcast, whether it's get me in trouble or discover that Kimberly doesn't like cheese, without your support. This is New Investors Week here at Marketplace. First-time donors get your gift matched dollar for dollar. We've been through all the nuts and bolts about, you know, we're looking for first-time donors so that we can get you and help you show your appreciation for what it is that we do. And if you can this week, it will be matched dollar for dollar. And look, help. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, look, a little over 200 folks have already had their gift matched this week. So thank you for that. We really appreciate it. We're trying to get to 350 people by midnight on Saturday. I absolutely believe that we can do it. I have faith in y'all. And you know, who knows, maybe I'll even eat cheese. And then if you step up, you can help us make the most of this investors challenge. And that will help us bring more uncomfortable moments for Kai that entertain just everyone, which we all love so much. You can go to marketplace.org/givesmart or click on the link in the show notes. Again, that's marketplace.org/givesmart. And if you are in a position to give, we would really appreciate it. And thank you in advance.
All right. I believe Drew Drostad is on the line. I want to believe. There we go. Okay, half full, half empty is the game. Our thoughts and feelings on various topics. Well, look, I mean, there was some peril in that last, you know, minute and a half of this podcast. Drew Drostad is the guy who does this with us. Drew, you there? Please help.
I'm around.
Save me.
I have special all holiday half full, half empty, but I did not add sleigh bells to the music. That's my bad.
That's all right.
I opened my curtain so you could see my decorations today.
Oh, yeah. Look, lots of love for that spiral staircase already, I'll tell you.
Your first topic is increased holiday delivery hours from the United States Postal Service, including starting at 6 a.m. and on Sundays, half full or half empty.
Wow. So I guess I'm half full for the consumers of America. I'm half empty for the postal workers who have to do that. I also think it's of note that Louis DeJoy, the Postmaster General of the United States, has recognized reality and knows that there's an extra burden this year. That's where I am.
Same, but also half empty on finding enough people to actually make that work.
Oh, yeah.
I have talked to a couple people who work with the Postal Service, and they were talking about the just full-on effort they're making to try to recruit people to work for the Postal Service.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, because they need like hundreds of thousands of people, not just for the holidays. And apparently one of the things that they're telling them is that, look, you know, yes, there's the holiday work, but if you, you know, can get a full-time job with the Postal Service, you know, that's a long-term job with benefits and, you know, pensions and all of these other things. And so I'm not getting the exact details of the offer right, but the point being that a lot of the jobs that are being offered around the holiday season are for temporary jobs that end. And one of the ways that the Postal Service is trying to pitch itself is that this is a job, yes, we'll hire you for the holidays, but there's more of a long-term track and there could be a career.
I
feel like one of the things that we've learned in the pandemic is that we need to be mindful and respectful of what we're asking other people to do. And do we really want to be asking our Postal Service workers to kind of kill themselves because we mailed our packages late? I don't know.
Yeah,
I'll just try to get my stuff out.
Six in the morning is tricky. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, next, Drew.
Half full or half empty on the return of office holiday parties?
Kimberly?
Half empty. Those things were always fraught. I mean,
They're a little painful and they're kind of fraught, yeah.
And risky, and especially in this era of Me Too and people saying inappropriate things about race all the time. I don't know that you need to mix alcohol into that. And I love my colleagues and I'm happy to see them, you know, at a restaurant, and I do hang out with my colleagues and folks are awesome. These big organized holiday parties with a lot of booze and a lot of food and spending when you're not giving your employees raises, I feel like I can pass on that. Half empty.
What Kimberly said. I'm down with that.
Okay. 2021.
As we sit here drinking together.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
2021.
Separately. Go ahead.
Was the record year, highest year for feature films and TV movies related to Christmas and the holidays. Half full or half empty on holiday movies?
All the way full. I have spent many a day binge watching holiday movies back to back to back. The more formulaic, the better. I love it, and I enjoy it. My mother loves it. We'll be on the phone, like, which Hallmark movie are you watching today? I don't know. Which Lifetime movie are you watching today? Just not last night, but the night before, I participated in my annual ritual where basically everyone in my family at some point in the holiday season watches this particular version of The Christmas Carol. I think it's called I'm not sure if it's called Christmas Carol or A Christmas Carol, but it's a 1970 version with Albert Finney, and it will be watched by just about everybody in my family at some point this season. I watched it the night before last, full on holiday movies.
That's so funny. So two things. Number one, I've got a friend who writes some of those Hallmark movies, and he starts like in
Thank
April
you.
and it's a huge portion of his income, and he kind of loves it. And I'm like, you go, man, whatever. Number two, Die Hard is a Christmas movie. And number three, if it's not
Bill
a wonderful
Schaefer
life,
says the same
I don't
thing
care.
In the YouTube chat.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Not a huge fan of It's a Wonderful Life. It feels like a little bit of a downer to me. I mean,
no,
I get
fair.
It's an economic Christmas movie.
I totally get it.
So I guess
it's
on brand for us.
I'm a Jimmy Stewart fan, but anyway. All right, Drew, what else you got?
Half full or half empty on the return of the Rose Parade.
Ambivalent.
Yeah, if you're not in LA and specifically in Pasadena, which is vaguely where I am, I don't know why you would care. I personally, I mean, it's a big deal around here, right? I mean, my local town and local towns around put huge amounts of civic energy into the Rose Parade, and it's super fun to watch. And when my bigger boys were little, I would pop them on my shoulders, and we would walk a block and a half up the street and watch the parade go by. But otherwise, you know, meh. I mean, it's cool, but meh, you know.
I cede my opinion on this to Drew. You're in California. What do you think?
Oh, I should have been ready for that. I really have the same ambivalence over here, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, unless you're, no joke, unless you're in within short driving or reasonable walking distance of Colorado Avenue in Pasadena, you should have no opinion other than I'm going to watch it before the football game starts. Truly.
Assuming one watches the footballs.
Well, yes, that's a whole different thing. I mean, you know, Utah, Ohio State, who cares? But anyway.
Okay.
I'm going to alienate all the Utah fans.
Before you do that, Mariah Carey's Christmas hit All I Want for Christmas Is You this week became the first holiday song to be certified diamond, half full or half empty on that song.
All the way full. She deserves it.
She does. I don't love that song, but props to her for writing it and making it happen. There you go. I'll go with that.
My niece was at my house the other day and confessed that she also did not like. She's 11.
Okay.
Perhaps
all right.
12.
Fair.
Bad auntie moment here.
Yeah, well, whatever.
She confessed that she also does not like that song and incurred the wrath of everyone over 30 around her. And we forced her to do a sing along. And by the end of it, she liked it.
Speaking of bad auntie.
Yes, yes.
You will sing.
Many
now.
Of us anyway, attempted to sorry. Hit the notes. It was entertaining, I must say.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. There we go. Oh, my goodness. That was it. We're going out on Mariah. That's fine. We can go out on Mariah. That's
yes.
speaking of Mariah and the season and the holiday, we are taking a break for the next couple of weeks. Back with new shows. Mark your calendars. January the 10th. In the meanwhile, dropping some of our favorite deep dives on your podcast feeds. Look out for those starting next Tuesday. Otherwise, we are back in 2022. Enjoy yourselves, your family, and whatever it is that you do this time of year. But mostly, honestly, just unwind. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to unwind, you know?
Good for you. Yeah. And I hope that folks take care of themselves, you know? Like, we didn't expect to be here this time last year, where we are. Yeah. So just be gentle with yourselves and your families and take care. And if you want to get in touch with us while we are on break, you can still do that. You can send us an email at makemesmart@marketplace.org or leave us a voice message with all of your holiday feelings and things. We are at 508-827-6278 or 508-UB-SMART. Today's episode of Make Me Smart was produced by Marissa Cabrera and Marque Green. It was engineered by the wonderful Drew Jostad. The senior producer is Bridget Bodner.
The guy can do anything. The team behind the YouTube live stream today and our game, Half Full, Half Empty, is Mel Rosenberg and Emily McCune. The theme music for Half Full, Half Empty, see what I mean about it? He can do everything, was Drew Jostad's work. And the director of On Demand is Donna Tam. Just got in under the wire, Donna. If we'd run out of music, I would have just not had been able to say your name.
No love for Donna. Yeah, happy holidays, everybody.
But yeah, take care of yourselves. We're back in the new year.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.